Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We are at the end of the ratification phase. Now, today, I will dive into the summation, but before we do, we'll kind of cover some high-level marketing. We definitely want to get into what I'll say is some marketing in the upcoming couple of weeks. And what I mean by that is we're going to cover some need-to-know news, things that have been happening that you don't know about because you may not have signed up with G. Edward Griffin's need-to-know news. But we're also going to dive into some of the current events. We're going to kind of go through that a little bit today regarding the Democratic, let's call it Circus Maximus. That's what we started last year calling it, so we'll stick to that. We'll kind of cover Circus Maximus as well as what's going on politically and so forth. But before we do that, let me go through a few things and kind of give you some highlights of what's also coming up. Because in addition to some need-to-know news, we are going to hit those interviews that I've been having in the background with people like John Duresh, with Keith Broders, soon to be Brent Winters, and others. And so what we're looking to do is try to provide you with some kind of current, fresh views of Republic Review, as well as what we need to start focusing on for the upcoming election. Because many of you are already either in the throes or have already passed up, at least on the presidential election. And some of you have been forced into, I cannot believe that your local legislature primaries are this early in the year. I mean, for the most part, any state that has done their primaries this early in the year, you're done. In other words, the outcome of the race has basically already been decided in most counties and or most areas where the people are, we'll just call them highly biased counties, because if it's a dark blue county or a dark red county, it's done. The Republican will win the dark red and the Democrat will win the dark blue. Changes or things to upset or rock that boat usually never happen, just because this deep entrenched bias. People will vote blindly for the party. Come to think of it, if you understand what I just said, parties do not deserve that blind vote, especially on the conservative side. And anybody that recognizes what the heck's going on, you should also be recognizing the fact that the reason why rhinos get into office is because people vote blindly. That's why the primaries are so important. That's why the primaries need to be pushed back into the summer, because you don't need a 9-month run between now and the general election to determine whether, you know, the primary did the job for you or not. It's over. And so that's why primaries need to be done. I kind of like the late July, sometime in August. I think that it should be super August, super July, super September, instead of super Tuesday in March timeframe. Are you kidding? Really? Look at all the states that have that early of election. The early election always favors, one, the incumbent, and secondly, it does not give you time. I mean, most of these states are still in kind of winter mode where they're locked down and they just don't have the ability to really get out and do, you know, I'll just say the town hall meetings and the challenging of these guys. Make these guys run, and as a matter of fact, local campaigns need to go much longer. You know, just a couple of weeks, just a couple of months is not enough time. And as a matter of fact, I love the idea of forcing your primary, if sometimes it's caucuses, but I love seeing those pressures being created on all sides. Bottom line is we need to start having rhino tests and we need to go rhino hunting. Rhino season is just around the corner for many of you. And for some of you, it's coming up this summer. And we want to make rhinos extinct. I mean, come on. I actually want to give you this concept, and maybe I need to write an article on this, because I think the word rhino is a disservice, because it's not just a rhino, a Republican in name only. What these people are doing is these people are coming in consciously making the decision that they don't agree with you. And so they're nefarious. These people have machinations. They have a plan and a strategy and a design to get elected by the people who vote blindly in the primary. They just vote Republican and get the people to buy into them, and then next thing you know, they go into office and people go, oh, look at this. I can tell you we have rhino problems in the state I live in. And as a matter of fact, the legislative district, all three, and I live in a dark red legislative district, and all three of the Republicans that are incumbents are rhinos, and they need to be taken out. I don't mean to go shoot them, but we need to go rhino hunting and we need to decimate them with the facts. And actually, the biggest challenge that you have in every single one of these legislative districts, the biggest challenge is identifying and finding the right Republican candidate who actually understands they have a constitutional responsibility first and foremost. And the fact that we are completely oblivious to that one factor, that they are, you know, they're insensitive and they don't care about the Constitution. They just want to be up there making decisions and then getting the ability to get the deals. Be very cautious of any individual that does not understand the Constitution, does not have a profound understanding of their responsibilities. Don't vote those folks in. As a matter of fact, you're better off flip-flopping back and forth between the guy that doesn't know and then replacing them, because bottom line, they've just became a burden on the legislative body. You're better off sending somebody who doesn't know what to do and then replacing them in 2 years, because at least it buys you 2 years or four if they're a senator. It at least buys you that time to find a better challenger. And if these folks actually turn out to be rhinos, there needs to be a mechanism. So maybe that's one of the things I'm going to jump ahead here. And I'm going to make a note of this, that we need to, you know, actually have this conversation of taking back the Republican State Party, or the State Republican Party. Yeah, that's, I'm actually typing this because this is so important. You have to understand what it takes to take back the party, your local party at the local level, your county. Some states do it by legislative district, but however you do it at the local level, we need to take that back. And it's not that difficult. What do you have to do? You have to go to a few meetings every year. And when I say a few meetings, it's a monthly meeting. You got to get involved a little bit. You got to take some on assignments. You know what? I don't think that burying yourself or embellishing yourself in entertainment is necessarily the way we're going to save our liberties. And actually, I do not believe anybody listening to this show actually qualifies under that. I think most people listening to this show actually have at least some slant, some bearing on me. We got to do something. And so if you're not active, involved in the Republican Party and start asking questions, hey, how come we're not Constitution-based? Hey, how come we don't take an oath as PCOs and as officers of the Republican Party? How come we're not taking an oath to the Constitution that first and foremost, we will support and defend the Constitution at a minimum? At a minimum, why aren't we doing that? You need to be bringing that up. That means right now it's time to start writing bylaws, and your bylaws need to reflect for the upcoming convention that you need. And as a matter of fact, if you don't get them in, you need to start pushing. What does it take to have an emergency rewriting of our bylaws? Because right now we have a problem if we're not taking an oath to the Constitution. We need to be known, and every party needs to be known as the constitutional supporting party. You want to, so everybody, I apologize for speaking in sentence fragments. Everybody recognizes, anybody that has a an understanding of Washington's views and our framers' views and so forth, almost all of them were, they were aware of the fact of the dangers of factions and parties. They pointed to the parties as being our big problem, that it could become a big problem. And it did become, actually it became a solution, because what we had was the Federalists, and that technically was a party, but we had to come up with a party to challenge that party. The only way, if you have a design with an end in mind, and the design is to alleviate the necessity of the party, if we start taking on the U.S. citizen vent, and we start taking that paradigm on that we are U.S. citizens first and foremost, then we are on a path of alleviating the party. Maybe we want to call it the U.S. Citizens Party. However, what we need to do is we need to at least start having a plan to make parties obsolete. And we will get into that when we come right back after this. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
So before I really get into the party and how to make the party obsolete, you know, creating the Citizens Party and creating this focus on the Constitution, let's get through the things I actually planned on talking, because sometimes I go down these tangents. And so I'd already made mark on my my plan of the things I plan on talking about, created the little bullet, so we'll get into that. But now's probably not a good time.
but I am telling you. And the reason I get into this is because that standing question that I have, are you a part of the problem or are you a part of the solution? If you, and most anybody that's listening to the show for any long period of time that has been actually listening to the podcast, however you're digesting some of this content, however, our YouTube page directly or what, fact of the matter is that you're doing this because you actually care. You want to see actual changes. You're tired of putting lipstick on pigs and putting them into office and nothing changes with our government. And so all we need is people like you, because if you already recognize these things, why are you not actually getting out there and competing? You know, some of the times, even if you don't win, some of the times you actually have a great impact on those candidates that you're running against, because that you already, you have forced them into a paradigm that they've never considered. And so anyway, as you know, you are listening to the only show that is academically based, and we get into academically based solutions. So with that, this show was also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And whew, boy, are we done with the ratification debates for this time of year? No, we're going to get into the summations. I will kind of cover them in their entirety, or at least an overview, a really good high overview as to the importance and, you know, the states and so forth. We will get into that a little later, hopefully today. If not, we'll get into that really briefly tomorrow, because it's just a macro perspective again. But we do need to get into that, because I promised that to you last in our last episode. So with that, we're going to also get into a long interview that I had with John Durash probably a couple weeks ago. And who is John Durash? He is the founder of the National Liberty Alliance. I started connecting with some people that were involved, some leaders that are involved in the National Liberty Alliance, and talked about, you know, interviewing them. And they just recommended that I talk to John, worked it out. John and I, you know, kind of aligned our schedules. We sat down and we talked for a good hour and a half. And in that hour and a half, there are two really good nuggets. The first nugget was the very beginning of the interview. I wanted to kind of explain to John, you know, who I was and what I am trying to, you know, educate people on and promote and so forth. And so, obviously, John had zero understanding of Republic Review, this concept of states auditing their compact, states stepping in and saying, where in the heck did we give you the authority? Because John understands, like a lot of people, and anybody that has any kind of logical reasoning in their head, they recognize the fact that if we do not get the federal government to comply to the Constitution first, it is game over. We are rapidly descending, you know, into, you know, what do they call that? Your optimal maximum threshold or whatever in your plunge or your dive due to the resistance of the air, your weight, gravity, and all these factors, you're at maximum velocity of falling. And so when we hit that, it's just a matter of just a little bit of time before we make impact. And when we make impact, there's only going to be two directions we can go. What we do right now will have a huge effect of where that impact will take us, or which direction we will go after that impact. And so understanding that we're on this course has been designed by people with very evil intent. And we have to get this word out. That's why I plead to you all the time. We can't do this without you. This is why we have a listener drive. Anyway, tomorrow I'm going to give you that first look of John Durash getting, you know, an idea. Because I'm telling you, he did not, you know, because he didn't understand it. This was his first, you know, drink. He did not necessarily bite into it. It took a while. It took a good 30, 40 minutes or so before he started grasping what I was saying. and he started grasping the magnitude of Republic Review. And over the course of this interview, it definitely forged and opened a portal for us to maintain a connection in working together. And that's what I love. And that's why I'm reaching out to leaders of organizations. And that's why we're trying. This is not a job of educating the masses. I believe leaders know what to do, and leaders will turn around and start feeding information to the people within their organization or within within their realm of sphere of influence. And in doing that, then we actually start magnifying the impact. There are a lot of people in Wyoming that do not understand Republic Review, but I'm telling you, we're in the thousands of people that actually understand. And let's just say we have 100,000 people that have at least heard and understand Republic Review. What is that? How does that equate into, you know, a statistic or a ratio or a percentile of the population? It's not even 1%. We have to be in the millions just to get 1%. We need 3 million to get 1% of the population, or greater than 3 million, actually, to get 1% of the population of America to at least be informed. And so how much time do we have? We don't have a lot of time. That's why we're begging you to start getting people active in listening, dialing our listen line, 605-562-4209. And then in doing so, they're going to, and remember, when you ask people to listen, ask them what they think of the content that they're hearing. What do they think of the message? As you listen and they listen, you can go back and, I hate to say test them, but it's important that we constantly put into perspective what they're hearing so that they understand completely. Oh my gosh. Yeah, we need to be a part of this. We need to get involved with this. So my friends, as we move forward, or as we plunge forward into what we have remaining of this election cycle, we need to really start working together. Another thing that we need to start doing is we need to start planting seeds. And that's another great way to start getting people informed regarding Republic Review. Constitution Day is, what, 6 months away now? Almost 6 months away. Are you doing anything? What are you doing to save your Constitution and your liberties? It's not GR's job. It's all of our jobs. It's every U.S. citizen's job to make sure that the Constitution is complied with. And it is, more importantly, it is every public servant's responsibility to ensure the U.S. Constitution is complied with, period. And that's how these elections should be framed. And when you get out there, you go to every single forum. You go to every single town hall. Every time the candidates are in town, you go out of your way and you see them in a couple of different forums. Challenge them on the importance of compliance to the Constitution. If you want me to help you write some questions on just a generic type of question like that, force these people to start addressing the fact that the Constitution is not being complied to. And what are you going to do about it? Anyway, I hope everybody kind of understands, you know, this importance of getting constitutional awareness. And Constitution Day is one great way to, you know, do that. Now, don't forget, we do have a few things that we want to cover. And some of those things we want to cover is, you know, we want to do a basic preparedness show. We want to kind of give you some ideas of, wow, that's a great idea. Why haven't I thought of that? And so there's those things. We also want to get into remembering Elijah Cummings. Yeah, I hate to think that we'll go to the anniversary of his passing. Not that he's not an important person. He actually, you know, got involved for the right reasons and got corrupted. But we'll get into all of that a little bit later. Just like the sports, and as a matter of fact, as NBA is ramping towards and rapidly, you know, descending into the playoffs and the final, you know, divisions, just like the Final Four and the college ball is coming up. It's about time people start recognizing that the NBA has been kowtowing to the Chinese Communist Party, and you need to start standing up and making this a in-their-face issue. Why is there no outrage by you or the fans regarding the NBA, the NBA stars and leadership who are actually kowtowing to the Chinese Communist Party? Anyway, another thing that we do want to also talk about is we want to also talk about riot control and some innovative ideas that I think have been thrown out there that are just beyond our ability at this point, or at least my ability at this point, to get these things marketed. But these are the things that need to happen, because I'm telling you, you do not have a right to go into the streets and damage property. You do not have a right to go in the streets and deny somebody of their civil rights of being able to flow commerce from one point to another, nor do you have the right to impact anybody's access to jobs, work, or what have you, and making money and putting food on their table and keeping a roof over their head. With that, we will be back, and in the third segment we'll kind of cover some things. Hopefully we'll get into that summary so we can get into the interview with John Duresh next, in our next segment.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Well, let me get into my little, and I have not done this a long time, but I do need to get into what I call groveling, or bottom line, our need for your support, because we need your support and help. And so there's different ways you can get involved. There's different ways you can support and help us. So one of the most preferred ways is that you actively get involved and make change. Because the sooner we have good, qualified, electable candidates to challenge the rhinos, the sooner we get over this. The less money we need and the less help that we need in getting out there. If all of a sudden more people, because of your help in expanding the listener drive to those people who really want to get involved in a solution, then those people can actually help with where we don't necessarily need all the funding. But it's not about the money, but in a way it is, because it costs money. It's going to cost you money. You get involved in the campaign, it's going to cost you money. We want to get involved in helping you as well, in creating a symbiotic relationship, a mutually benefiting relationship. So if you have the ability to help, there's one way to help. You can buy Red State Coffee. We don't have real commercials. We haven't had a real commercial running on that. It's just strictly a personal plug on a daily basis when we do these shows. That's one way you can help. Try Red State Coffee. It may cost you a little bit more than what you're paying for coffee. But the point is, and save it for special occasions if you can't afford it. But the folks at Red State Coffee are the folks that are providing this for us, that company. I mean, here's a way that they're trying to support us. So support them and so that they can help support us. Another way, you can just directly contribute to our GoFundMe. Just go to GoFundMe.com and just type in Reclaiming the Republic and you will find, or just go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. That's where you'll find the link for Red State Coffee as well as our GoFundMe campaign. More importantly, and I want to end on the most important part, we need you to get involved. You need to be a part of the solution. If not, then you are a part of the problem. It's kind of that simple. I want to thank you, though. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for continually putting up with this haranguing and this badgering, nagging, whatever you want to call it, from yours truly, because bottom line, I have to bring these things up, because if I don't, then, you know, this just becomes the informational hour that there's, it has no consequence. We're not driving, we're not working together, we're not coming together on these principles and ideas and moving forward. That's why we need you to listen. We need you to help expand the show. We need you to get involved. You are and can be a big pot or a big part of the solution. Yes, you can. Anyway, I want to spotlight a few things because I know statehood is actually still simmering out there. There's lots of states that are looking at splitting. There's D.C. and Puerto Rico that are, you know, kind of on the courtship to statehood. We need to ensure the District of Columbia. That's why you need to understand the Constitution, so that the District of Columbia can never become a state. It would be an abject violation of the Constitution. It is the national seat of government, and it's not to have a voice. It is to respond to the whims and desires of the state. It is not to become a sovereign and involved in ratifying its own its own roles, responsibilities, and powers. It has become, and it has grown into a large self-licking ice cream cone, and we need to cut that hand off that's holding that ice cream cone up, and we need to put D.C., the seat of the federal government, back into the perspective and framework of what it is. It is strictly the seat of government where Congress has exclusive legislation over that area and that area alone, period. If you are a part of the District of Columbia, now I believe Virginia has taken back its portion of the District of Columbia. So the District of Columbia really is only the Maryland side of that. And if Maryland takes that back, then we actually have a constitutional problem, because as we read through the constitutional ratification debates, or the debates over the Constitution, it was clear they did not want the District of Columbia to be a portion of a state. It needed to be autonomous so that it had this freedom from states and having that influence of the state's roles, responsibilities, and powers. So that's why it was set aside, where it could never become a state. And now we're actually looking at how perverse have we gotten? Well, we've gotten so perverse that good is evil and evil is good. I mean, if you look at where we are, that that is where we are. And that's why we just, you know, just have to shake your head and say, I can't believe it. But anyway, the 2020 election and Trump and Congress, this is going to be interesting. There are opportunities that will arise from the 2020 election. If everything goes as we've been anticipating, that the Republican Party will take full control over Congress and the White House, once again, and this will be the last window of opportunity, the only way we can secure this is by doing a few things, and we need to get your county commissioners involved. County commissioners need to actually start looking at calling for a con-con. They need to consider splitting the state. As a matter of fact, even Wyoming might be wise in splitting itself, in, you know, dividing itself from the progressives and the, you know, the, those people who don't agree with the direction that they want to take that state. Almost every state is split in one way or another. And if you could divide the population so those people would be happy having communism or an advanced level of socialism, let them be. Let them destroy themselves. And then the rest of us will say, sorry, we're not, there's nothing in the Constitution or in our moral code that says we need to bail you out to subsidize. We do not need to subsidize you. You fail, and you fail with the consequences, and that is your right. That is your right as an American to fail, but you must face the consequences. It is a very evil thing that our society has moved into a position that all it does is try to remove the consequences of bad behavior, or more importantly, sin. Because if you look at when people are sinning, whether it's be adultery, whether it be riotous living or what have you, when somebody does those types of things, the federal government and or the governments have been working together to reduce or remove the consequence. Oh, well, you got pregnant? Well, you have an abortion. We'll pay for it. There you go. No more consequence. Feel good about yourself because you're entitled to feel good. It's the same thing with drinking, smoking, and everything else. Oh, you've damaged your health because of riotous living? That's no problem. We've got free health care. Don't worry. We'll take care of you. Until we can no longer afford to take care of you, then we'll just let you die. Because we're allowing these things to happen, they're trying to create this Emerald City, this utopian society that will actually fail. Of a healthcare that becomes a universal healthcare that is single-sponsored, that the government runs and operates, it will become an albatross. It will actually become the mechanism and the doorway and the path to our, you know, death councils and that type of terrible demise. There has never been a situation where socialism is taken over that doesn't create blight and ruin. We can't let this happen, folks. And so some of the things we need to do is look at splitting. Splitting is a good way. Another good way of stopping this is a constitutional convention for your state constitution. Take back your constitution and model it in a new... Anybody understanding, been listening to this show, should understand the difference between a general constitution and an enumerated. Make your state constitution an enumerated constitution as well as your county. You should have a county constitution. And, oh, by the way, there is a need to actually create an executive, not the sheriff, a true executive for the county. We need to actually start modeling the counties after the same model that we were given for for our general government and state governments. Anyway, we'll get into that. These are just things that we want to talk about in a high, you know, at a macro view. We also need to look at going rhino hunting. And I know I've said this, I've already talked about this. We need to actually start spilling the beans. If you already have somebody, start creating a little database of all these things that your rhino and the rhinos in your state have been committing, the different bills that they've been passing, and how they've been constantly supporting the Democrat agenda. You know, what you have is somebody that is not a Republican. And we'll talk about what it takes to change the bylaws as we get into that. Like I said, you heard me typing in making the note that we are going to get into taking back the state parties and what it takes to do that. Anyway, we're in a hard break. We've got one more segment after this, and then we will wrap up, hopefully, in giving you the, you know, what we're going to be doing in our next episode. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue, to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
All right, so before we move into anything, because in our next episode, you will get an awesome interview with myself and John Durash, and you're going to find that reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. And John Durash is just a reasonable person that, not that he was not informed, it's just that there's just too few people. There's lots of people that have read the Federalist Papers, but almost everybody understands the Federalist Papers are not legally binding. The Federalist Papers are insightful, just like the journals and letters and personal writings of the framers and so forth. They're very insightful, but they're not legally binding and something we can actually put a hook into, like a grappling hook, and pull ourselves out. The ratification debates are that grappling hook. It is the anchor. It is the, you know, that the parapet, you know, at that higher level that we can latch onto and pull ourselves up. Anyway, the states, you know, the states that had little or no information in the ratification process, one of the things I tried to do this year, or in this iteration, is to try to give you some of the insights as to at least how some of these states, because after Massachusetts had ratified the Constitution, almost every state, that even though we don't have a detailed how they discussed and debated the ratification debates in our hands, what we do have is we have at least the amendments that they were putting forward to actually garner that these people saw the exact same dangers, and they wanted to ensure that the federal government was constrained completely, that there was no way it got out of that bottle. I'm telling you that the only way they got out of the bottle was through violations of the Constitution. There were no deceived, or I should say dubious lines and clauses in the Constitution that were really, literally created to allow the federal government to spring forth into this awesome, you know, monstrosity that it has become. There is no proof of that. It's not there. So as we go through, and as I went through this past time, these states, we were able to actually see, and I proved to you, with a couple of the, you know, amendments, that they were looking at the exact, and they had the exact same concerns regarding federal powers. Anyway, we covered Massachusetts, and in looking at Massachusetts, as I've said before, Massachusetts had a very religious focus. When people think that all the ratification debates were all the same, they weren't. The focus of the people and the culture of those people were different. They were, you know, they had different paradigms. And you can tell by the, even though Massachusetts was a highly educated area, they were still very religious, in contrast to North Carolina, Virginia, and New York, where you had a lot of litigious brains, but they were not nearly as religious as Pennsylvania and Massachusetts. Pennsylvania also had a very interesting take in the way they managed the ratification debates, is because there were literally just a few people that opined or spoke in favor of the Constitution. You had all the anti-federalists, and then the Federalists had one or two statesmen, such as Mr. I think it was Wilson or William. It's Wilson. I think James Wilson and McKean. Those were the two primary spokesmen or statesmen for the ratification of the Constitution. Now, when you look at the other three states that we went through, like I said, North Carolina, and interestingly enough, North Carolina only covered slavery twice that I found. I could probably go back and look at, if they covered it obliquely or in a different manner, that they just didn't use the word slave. But Virginia actually covered the issue of slavery even more, because there was a big sensitivity towards it in Virginia. And why? Because Virginia was in that Mason County, Dixon line area where abolition was already there. As a matter of fact, as I told you in the Constitutional Convention, all of the delegates were in support of eradicating and getting rid of slavery. Now, when you listen to the debates, you will hear more people, you know, you'll actually hear people concerned that they could possibly lose their slaves, because they were still one of those split states. Now, the states to the north were completely against it, and the states to the south of Virginia were completely for it, because those were the three states, Virginia and the Carolinas, that said, we will walk if you try to do that. And the biggest, and, you know, these men, they believed that keeping the Union intact was far more important. So anyway, what was also very interesting was the different perspectives of how these men looked at this. New York, I don't want to downplay and necessarily completely trash talk the New York ratification debates. As I showed you, there are some good insights that prove the consistency that even New York was in line with, I should say the Federalists were in line with the rest of the states in saying that this was a limited government. The fact of the matter is that Hamilton becomes somebody that is just absolutely questionable, and anything that is founded or based upon Hamilton has to really be reviewed and scrutinized to determine whether Hamilton had any type of machinations, whether it was a red herring, whether there was any truth behind it or what have you. He was a brilliant man. He was considered one of the smartest men of the time. He was the most literate of the time as well. Him and James Madison were probably very comparable at their level of education, at their level of literacy in understanding governments and so forth. And as a matter of fact, I think Hamilton and Jefferson was the reason why Madison was the most prolific and most literate person of the time. And that was just due to that competition that he had. Here was a guy that was small. He was, I believe, the shortest president ever. And I believe he was the most feeble president we've ever had. But nevertheless, he was obviously the most prolific. That is, I think, a good nutshell view of the ratification debates. The most important thing I have to impart upon you is that the ratification debates, because they were defining what the Constitution meant, because they were laying out the terms and definitions of that contract, that is why, regardless of whether you like it or not, it is, and those are legally binding statements of those people who were selling the contract to the states in hopes that they would ratify, because it was their testimony that helped get that state and those delegates of the state across the finish line to say, yes, we will ratify, we will become partakers and shareholders of this institution called this hybrid constitutional republic of America. And so getting into a new topic, the Democratic meltdown, as we're starting to witness the fervor, as a matter of fact, I honestly believe that people said, you know what, we cannot show a hand of getting Hillary, Michelle Obama, or anybody else into the race at this point in time. We have to start rallying behind somebody, and that somebody is, you know, Dirty Joe. I can't understand, and I never understood, why opposing parties try to highlight the weak points of their opposition. Why is it that we're actually talking into the details of Joe's cognitive powers and so forth? Let them do their own damage within the party. We see this, and people complain about this about the Republican Party more so than you see people complaining in the Democratic Party. But you could see that these people were castigating, they were attacking each other, they were doing everything they could to make desperate grasps at trying to get that Holy Grail, that nomination. And so what we now see is that they've come to their senses and they've said, okay, we have to look at who we believe can actually challenge Donald Trump. And so let this move forward. We've got to allow them to run with the rope that they have so that we can take that rope and hang them as they've created their nomination. Okay, this is the bed we're making. Then we can hang them with those sheets, okay, or rope or whatever you want to call it, whatever metaphor you want to use. Now, I know that there's, you know, more than enough news talking about the stock reactions to the coronavirus, the shutting down of commerce flowing and so forth. You know what? We should have been in this position a long time ago. We should have actually taken these lumps at the beginning of the Trump presidency and shutting down trade and challenging China and forcing them to take the moral high ground or stay out of world commerce for all of the evil things that they're doing, from live organ harvesting and genetic engineering, all of that type of stuff, the code DNA editing. My friends, there are unintended consequences as well. We've kind of covered that as well as the coronavirus. So all of these things are kind of interrelated, and I hope you're understanding that. And as we get into this, we can actually start talking more and more about it. But we're out of time today. What we're going to do, and I know I promised you marketing, but tomorrow we're going to actually cover an intro segment, an introduction of Republic Review with John Duresh. So I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am
trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.